Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us today, wherever you're listening in Southern California, on 89.3 or any of our many transmitters from Santa Barbara to the Coachella Valley. Also, of course, streaming at kpecc.org and available on your smartphone wherever you travel, which might be very limited these days. Nonetheless, it's there on the KPECC app. Coming up later this hour, former Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang will be with us. He'll be talking about Long Beach's plan to do a pilot program of universal basic income. Remember Yang's $1,000 monthly freedom dividend that he talked about as a central part of his campaign, that Americans would, across the board, if they're adults, get that $1,000. Long Beach is going to pursue experimenting with payments to lower-income residents, similar to what the city of Stockton has done in California. They've been doing it for over 2 years, $500 a month, the payment there. So we'll talk about what's happened in Stockton, and we'll look at Long Beach with the mayor of Long Beach. Robert Garcia will be with us again. Andrew Yang will be there also to talk with us later this hour. But we begin, first of all, with unemployment in California and the end, of course, of the $600 weekly supplement to unemployment that was being paid by the federal government. That program ended. President Trump authorized $300 a week in supplemental unemployment benefits. But the rules for claiming the supplement are a little bit different. Joining us to talk about how folks are getting the supplement, when it kicks in, and what the limitations are is CalMatters economy reporter Lauren Hepler. Lauren, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lauren, let's start first of all with the money. When are Californians who are receiving unemployment benefits going to start getting that $300 supplement?
That's definitely the big question, and there's some major caveats to be aware of there. So California's Employment Development Department, sort of the head when it comes to unemployment, has said they're going to start processing payments in just a few days now, September 7th. But the thing that's a little odd is that this actually goes back to August. So it's not for people who are, you know, just filing for unemployment now or in the coming weeks. This is for people that were already getting by on lower payments over the summer.
And with the $600 supplement, there was no minimum requirement for the typical weekly unemployment benefit. Essentially, everybody, even if they were furloughed a few hours a week, were eligible for the $600 a week supplement. What's the limitation on the new $300 a week payment?
Yes, that's a big issue. So you have to be getting a weekly benefit of $100 or more. And literally just a few minutes before we started talking, I got an email from a person in Southern California that said they're getting $99 a week. Oh, so for a lot of people, that's going to be really painful if you're kind of right on the edge there. Some states have made changes to make accommodations there, but so far California has not done that. And the state here is in a bit of a different situation because California has already had to borrow $10 billion from the federal government to pay unemployment. So this is a little bit where the rubber meets the road with unemployment so high, still over 13%. There's going to be some tough decisions that have to be made.
There was talk among California legislators about authorizing a statewide increase in unemployment benefits to try and fill the gap of the larger federal benefit have been there, but it doesn't sound like that went anywhere, did it?
Yeah, that was one of those things that it had been talked about and talked about, but at the end of the legislative session earlier this week, it didn't come to pass. And again, that's because the state is already borrowing a lot of money. An economist at Stanford told me California is hemorrhaging money right now. So it would have been really risky for the state's financial future to keep borrowing to pay that increased amount. But at the same time, that leaves people in a really tight spot. We've talked to folks all over the state that are, you know, liquidating their retirement accounts or scrambling to pay rent. And these things like eviction moratoriums that we hear about are helping a little bit in the short term. But again, it's just coming down to kind of impossible choices for a lot of people.
And let's just talk a little more thoroughly about the difficulty some folks are going to have qualifying for the $300 weekly supplement. Would these be individuals who maybe they're the secondary breadwinner in the household, or they have multiple jobs, that how they piece together their income? Who are the ones affected?
it gets a little bit technical. So you're not eligible for these payments. It's technically the program is called the Lost Wages Assistance Program. You'll often hear EDD and others call it LWA. And to get it, you have to have a one-time certification indicated that you are unemployed or partially unemployed due to COVID-19. So some people that have lost partial hours or part-time work may be eligible, again, if they're getting that $100 per week or more currently. But the things that also make you ineligible are if you're receiving disaster unemployment assistance, obviously a huge issue with the fires going on around the state. Also state special school benefits or training extensions. So you've really got to kind of piece together if you're drawing on help from other sources that it doesn't preclude you from this help as well.
Lauren Hepler with us, economy reporter for the nonprofit news organization Cal Matters. Also with us, economics reporter for NPR, Scott Horsley. Scott, so good to have you with us today. Any sort of movement in Congress on additional supplementary unemployment?
Not real movement, but feints at movement, hints of movement to come. The Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin was testifying before Congress yesterday and said that the administration is interested in sitting down and negotiating a new coronavirus relief package. There was action by Republicans in the Senate that was talking about sort of formalizing a $300 a week unemployment, supplemental unemployment benefit. You know, as at last count, we had 27 million people in the country who were receiving some kind of unemployment benefits. When the $600 a week went away at the end of July, you're talking about taking $80 billion a month out of the economy, $80 billion in spending power. The $300 a week that the president has offered for some of those recipients, let's say it went to all of them, maybe you'd be making up $40 billion of that, but you're still talking about $40 billion in spending power that was drained out of the economy. And you can see that in some of the data. You know, the consumer spending data that we got for July was weaker than it had been the month before. You had big retailers like Walmart who said that they saw a slowdown in their sales as we got to the end of July and that money started to run out. So this is really going to start to pinch in an economy that depends very heavily on consumer spending.
In fact, next hour on Air Talk, we'll talk with the Wall Street Journal's Sarah Nassauer, and her beat is retail, particularly the big boxers that have done extremely well. And Scott, I think it's safe to say that when you look at Amazon, Costco, Target, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, you know, those businesses that have done extremely well, as the mom and pops, of course, have suffered. Much of that is really as a result of that weekly supplement payments.
It's, you know, you put $80 billion into the economy every month. That's been a huge support for the economy up through the end of July. Much of that went away in August. Now, some of it may come back. The other thing to keep in mind about the president's offer, this $300 a week, he's funding that because Congress hadn't authorized it. He's diverting money from FEMA, and he had identified about $44 billion for that. If all the states take him up on that, and so far about half the states have, that money would only last for about a month. So, you know, we may already be seeing the exhaustion of that money now that we're into September. There is going to be some pressure on lawmakers to do something. We have another sort of forcing action at the end of September. Congress has got to come up with a spending bill to keep the lights on of the government starting October 1. So that'll be another motivator for them to make some kind of deal.
Scott, what would be the reason why some states haven't yet decided to take the $300 a week?
Well, a lot of them feel like it's just an awful lot of work to go through these machinations for a kind of stopgap program that would only pay, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of unemployment benefits. They're really hoping that Congress makes a more lasting, more permanent deal. Others, I think, are sort of philosophically opposed to it. I mean, you know, we had the governor of South Dakota came out, used as sort of a marketing way to say, look, our state unemployment rate has fallen a lot. We don't need the extra money. So there are both philosophical reasons and sort of logistical mechanical reasons why states might be resistant to taking that money.
We're talking with NPR economics reporter Scott Horsley, also with us CalMatters economy reporter Lauren Hepler. Again, if you have questions, particularly about the unemployment benefits going from $600 a week supplement to a more limited eligibility $300 a week federal supplement. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can also tweet at AirTalk, as Diane did, said, some of us are still waiting for payments owed us from June. Lauren Hepler, why the lag time in unemployed Californians getting their payments?
Where to start with that one? There's been so much back and forth on how unemployment is being handled in the state really since March. I've talked to folks that have been waiting 2-3 months for any kind of benefits. That's folks who are contractors or freelancers. They've seemed like they've had particularly long waits under a special program that was made available. But really, I mean, there's been hearings on this with state lawmakers where they blame everything from antiquated technology to staffing not being at the right levels. And there's been pressure to kind of get it together and really make sure that people are being responded to faster. But it's an ongoing issue for sure.
And are people still having to wait forever to even get through on the phone?
I have heard that that's still an issue. You have people calling back multiple times a day, or folks who over the course of weeks have called, I've heard up to 200 times trying to get through. And EDD has said that's because they have different types of people staffing the phone lines at different hours and that they have really expanded that. So we're going to hope that those wait times ease up a bit.
Again, if you have questions for our guest, Lauren Hepler of CalMatters, Scott Horsley of NPR, we're at 866-893-KPECC. Sean in Redondo Beach says, do some states have priority in getting the additional $300 from the executive order? If that order, any stimulus passed by Congress happens, would there be some kind of bonus money to make up for the time between when the original stimulus bill ended at the end of July to when the new one is passed? Scott, do you have any idea about that?
Well, the president's order is sort of retroactive, so states that do take advantage of it can pay out benefits going back to August 1, and we don't know what any deal that Congress might make would look like, but chances are that would also be retroactive, so people could put in for the weeks that they've lost. There's no priority order in the sense of directing money to states with highest unemployment rates or anything like that. It's kind of first come, first served.
All right. 866. Scott.
We're going to get a better picture of the job market on Friday when the Labor Department comes out with its monthly snapshot. But we got some worrisome numbers today from the private payroll processor ADP. Showed just over 400,000 jobs added in August, which would be a lot in ordinary times, but is kind of a drop in the bucket right now. And if that proves to be indicative of the job growth we see on Friday when the Labor Department comes out with a more comprehensive report, it would suggest that the rebound from the very deep hole we found ourselves in this spring has slowed, and the recovery is going to be a very long and difficult one.
Scott, just looking for any potential silver lining here, is it possible that because we're talking about August and a month that's somewhat anomalous historically, it's vacation time for people and things like that, which, of course, people are not vacationing in anywhere near the same ways. Is that something that could be an outlier, and perhaps September we make up for that?
I suppose it's possible, although the national numbers are adjusted for that kind of seasonality, it should cancel that out. Some of the seasonal adjustments have been thrown off a little bit just because we've seen such wild swings in employment this year. But I think that what we saw was a beginning of jobs coming back in May, really pretty strong growth in June, and then July was much slower job growth. And if we see a further deceleration in August, that's That's probably a real signal of deceleration, not some statistical noise or a seasonal noise.
Going back to the states, Scott, that accepted or didn't accept or haven't yet accepted the $300 weekly supplement that the president authorized, is much of that seem to be an ideological difference state by state, or does it not line up that right way?
You know, I think ideology breaks down when your unemployment rate is north of 10%. And but yeah, we've certainly seen there's always been a lot of variation in, say, the generosity of state unemployment systems. A lot of southern states have not very generous unemployment systems. States in the Northeast pay more. California has, you know, sort of reasonably generous but not super generous unemployment benefits. And I think you see some of that same sort of philosophical difference reflected in the states that have been quickest to line up for help.
Lauren Hepler of CalMatters. Phil in Anaheim says, what does a person need to do if you're fortunate enough to be eligible to receive the $300 weekly supplement? What do you need to do to get that?
Go to the EDD's website, that is edd.ca.gov. There's lots of information on this lost wages assistance program, so search for that. Again, those payments are going to start being processed on September 7th, and they'll be issued retroactively. It says the payments will be added to your regular unemployment amount, but I know lots of folks are getting in contact trying to make sure that happens. Again, since there have been these communications breakdowns in the previous months.
And Andrea in Long Beach asked, do independent contractors and self-employed folks who qualified for the PUA program, do they also qualify for the $300 weekly supplement?
We were still working through that question, actually. It appears yes, but again, that's a something to talk through with EDD, and we've heard more problems reported with the PUA program, especially because those numbers have been surging in recent weeks. So I really wish I had better news, but that's, again, something to pay close attention to.
Well, just, Lawrence, another example of how complicated this whole process has been for people to navigate it, the waiting that's gone on. It's traumatic enough to be furloughed or permanently lose a job and then to have to go through all the hoops here, just emotionally draining for people.
Yeah, that's what we hear over and over again. This has really become a full-time job trying to navigate the unemployment system during a crisis.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Appreciate your being with us and talking about this. Lauren Hepler, economy reporter for CalMatters, and Scott Horsley, economics reporter for NPR. Scott, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
All right. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC coming up. Our daily COVID-19 update today. We're joined by Huntington Hospital infectious disease specialist, Dr. Kimberly Schreiner. We've got a lot to ask her, but most importantly, I want to hear your questions at 866-893-KPECC. Coming up a little bit later, we talk about Long Beach moving closer to a pilot program for universal basic income. Some residents would get monthly payments from the city. We'll have on Andrew Yang, the Democratic presidential candidate who has advocated this. It was a central part of his campaign for president. And we talk with the mayor of Long Beach, Robert Garcia, with us as well to talk about city staff's investigation of universal basic income. We'll be back in 1 minute on Air Talk.